To overcome a so-called hereditary disease, we have to know that man, the patient, was never in a matter body, because he is the image and likeness of spirit, that he was never born into matter, never passed through a prenatal state, never was thrust out of spirit, understanding, never had a material father and mother or ancestor from whom he could inherit disease. That belief was all misconception. Into the real and ideal man, the fleshly element cannot enter. Thus it is that Christ illustrates the coincidence or spiritual agreement between God and his image. Sickness or sensation in matter is not a reality, but is an illusion, Mrs. Eddy tells us. The sick have only to awaken from this dream of life in matter, of pain and disease in matter, yea, of sensation in matter, that you call personal sense, to realize themselves well. In Divinity Course, Mrs. Eddy advises, mentally treat yourself that nothing can govern your actions or come to your thought that is not from the divine mind. Be strong there. Men and women have never multiplied. There was never a birth nor a death of man, since man is the idea inseparable from his divine principle, which exists and coexists with God. Unquote. She is stressing the great spiritual truth that our only father and mother is truth, a synonym for God. Therefore, the offspring of the flesh, born of a woman, is no more real, scientific, or eternal than a tumor, which the Christian Scientist labors to destroy and so heal the sick. Mortals will lose their sense of mortality in proportion as they gain the sense of man's spiritual pre-existence as God's child. Recall Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. O Father, give me the glory I had with thee before the world was, before this dream of life in matter overtook me. The meek Nazarene's steadfast and true knowledge of pre-existence, of the nature and separability of God and man, made him mighty. Unquote. That is from miscellaneous writings. At this point, we are seeing the mortal body as a misconception, but, quote, he who gains the God-crowned summit of Christian Science never abuses the corporeal personality, but uplifts it. He thinks of everyone in his real quality and sees each mortal in an impersonal depict. Unquote. It is heartening to know that, quote, an improved belief cannot retrograde. When Christ, your real mind, changes a belief of sin or of sickness into a better belief, then belief melts into spiritual understanding, unquote. What disappears is that which was always nothing, namely a matter body. The matter body, which always was nothing, disappears, and man, being your real mind's reflection, is found immortal now. A fundamental point in Christian Science is never to admit the existence of a matter body and a human mind. They are misperception, illusion, hypnotic suggestion only. Matter, in any form, is nothing more than a misinterpretation, a misconception of spirit. In the book, Essays and Other Footsteps, Mrs. Eddy tells us, quote, the existence of Jesus was identical with truth and the life that is God because he claimed and manifested the Christ mind, which we too must do. He demonstrated spirit, the understanding that mind is the only substance free from matter. The divine soul, spiritual understanding, changeless, spiritual sense, true identity, is the substance of man. The body is but its accompanying shadow. And this eternal substance, spirit, never in its body or shadow, any more than you can get into your shadow. He knew that even as good and evil are opposites, so are the spiritual and material sense of things opposites. Continuing in the book, quote, the book of Genesis has an importance to which no other document pretends. It is not only the oldest book that is trustworthy history, but the only one that contains the clear, concise statement of the supremacy of spirit over matter. As when the eternal us said, quote, "Let us make man, and let us make him in the image and likeness of spirit, not matter." Now I mean that man is one of the pictures of God's mind, your mind. And this picture is a product and not the producer. It is an image and reflection. The intelligence whereof is the mind that produced it, and not that man is a separate mind from God, for then man would be a sinner, and sin would render man mortal. The only possible way for man to be immortal is to have no separate mind from God, to have not a single quality underived from deity. For then man is governed by an unerring mind, and this produces an undying body forever undisturbed by matter. Our real name is Christ Science, as it's said in Miss Lane's writings. As science, we already include everything that can ever be revealed. Healing in Christian Science is the clearing away of misconceptions about God and man. It is known we already include every right idea about the misconception dropped on us by the veil of human birth. People think death will make them harmonious. This is a misconception. Only by realizing that in truth we already are harmonious and harmony be manifested. In an article called Women's Hour, Mrs. Eddy writes, "True history is the record of the development in the human consciousness of a truer idea of God and man. This development has expressed itself affirmatively throughout the ages in every department of human endeavor. Its true meaning and intent is interpreted in the search of the human heart for freedom. Freedom is an abstract thing, even an ideal in the divine mind, which is God. Its ultimate goal brings the liberty of the sons of God. Its message has come to the awakened thought of the toiling, striving humanity in every age, as the Star of Bethlehem came to an awakened thought of the wise men of that day. And God, the divine ever-present love, made man in his own image and likeness. But the man of this world's conception has passed by in his daily tasks, oblivious to the fact that love has always been more truly expressed by woman than by the masculine representative of manhood. But now has come woman's hour." Note here, woman refers to qualities of thought, and in the human, many men have more qualities of womanhood than some women. "The deliverer of humanity must be the mother love. It broods over the children of earth, though they, unconscious of its power, may term it weakness. In this worldwide war of the revolution, manhood shall be softened by the qualities of true womanhood, and womanhood shall be strengthened by the courage and assurance of manhood, and they two together shall reveal the true sense of godhood, the true sense of your real mind, your godhood." Mrs. Eddy quotes C.A.L. Totten, quote, "It was the creation of womanhood that completed the equation, which, even yet, we have not fully solved." She states, "His prophecies were grounded in science. They reiterate the sacred scriptural records and the logical syllogisms in Science and Health, where the demonstration of being starts with the manhood of being and rises to womanhood as the Christ idea. The messages to the human heart in this hour are stronger than creeds, broader than races, more potent than patriotism. They are the prophetic whispering of angels." Unquote. But old habits and thinking patterns are deeply ingrained and die hard. If Mary Baker Eddy had been a man, would she have faced the terrible prejudice that dogged her and that still persists to this day? Definitely not. Even so, as she noted, "The science of physical harmony as now presented to the people in divine light is radical enough to promote as forcible collisions of thought as the age has strength to bear." Unquote. The fact that her age didn't have strength to bear the full revelation that each individual has both, has all the manhood and all the womanhood qualities, caused Mrs. Eddy to hide her great discovery in the pages of Science and Health. Mrs. Eddy knew that time and teaching have a wonderful way of weeding out the trivial and untrue. Let's not let go of our longings and yearnings, our immortal cravings, as they lead us onward to Christ. Jesus, in his revelation to St. John on the lonely Isle of Patmos, to which John had been banished, did not leave the ages comfortless. He saw the final readjustment of all things, and in the vision he saw symbolically the crown of power and revelation placed upon the head of womanhood. Gaining the Christ character. Mrs. Eddy continues, "This science teaches that there is absolutely no such thing as physical personality. So as long as we believe ourselves to be a person, we limit ourselves. Infinite good never limits us. We, in our ignorance, limit ourselves. In No and Yes, Mrs. Eddy states, it is truth's knowledge of infinitude which forbids the genuine existence of even a claim to error. This knowledge is light, wherein there is no darkness, revealing infinite good and nothing else. This truth which you are in reality has no consciousness of error, because dwelling in light, I can only see the brightness of my own glory. Every divine statement of absolute Christian science in Science and Health confirms that we already are one with God. Our work is to acknowledge the omnipresence of present perfection, which is the kingdom of God within our consciousness. And as we do this, understandingly, it will appear. What is the second coming of Christ? Quote, it is another era of the world's awakening, a higher advent in human consciousness of the spiritual idea, the true character of God, meaning the true character of our own real mind. This idea of God neither comes nor goes, for it is inseparable from its divine principle, the ever-present I am. Every loyal scientist understands that the second coming of Christ is the next higher, hence the more spiritual revelation of God's character. The human consciousness must become divine. Mrs. Eddy has taught us in the first edition of Science and Health that we are spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, all terms for God. The next higher, hence more spiritual revelation of our God character, is to understand the coincidence of the divine and the human. Quote, hence the need that human consciousness should become divine in the coincidence of God and man. The Christian era presented the first tangible idea of God's character by its inspired man, Jesus. The era of Christian science ushers in through woman the second appearing of infinite good's character, and this from the necessity of his nature as the father and mother, meaning truth and love of all, the creator, even the complete and ever-present idea of God. Therefore, this era comes not through Jesus, but through Mary, the type of womanhood and mother of its first and forever appearing which divine science alone can give. The third appearing of the spiritual idea of the character of God, mind as love, will present but the disappearing of all else and establish the supremacy of spirit, which obliterates the human sense of the divine, takes away all sense of matter, and reveals the final fact that the idea, Christ, is not a materialized or finite man or woman, but is the infinite concept of infinite mind. This is now going on as the final revelation. As we learn this, we are learning our marriage to God and are finding ourselves whole. Mrs. Eddy has said, my purpose is to uncover error, to show the method of its madness and the utter evil of its ultimatum. Also that good is real and evil, being the opposite of good, is unreal. As we persevere righteously, mortal mind rises in its own scale of human thought up to the point of its own dissolution, to where the immortal mind is and was and ever will be the only mind, the only life, truth, and love.
Continuing Helen Wright's book, Made Whole Through Our Marriage to God.
The essence of Christian Science demonstration is the great revelation that spirit, understanding, and spiritual existence alone are real. As we gain this truth, we bring it into our consciousness as our consciousness, and this transforms the human mind. This helps us to see ever more clearly the human and divine coincidence, the coincidence of God and man, to see that we are in the presence of God, wedded to God, to infinite good. The proper use of personality. The coincidence of the human and the divine was made manifest in the character of our dear leader. It was always Mrs. Eddy's desire to do good to her enemies. She prayed daily that divine love would save them from sin and its effects. She strove persistently to labor unselfishly and patiently to uplift the fallen, to console the sorrowing, to show mankind its present perfection through an understanding of spiritual reality. She taught as she would be taught, and she earnestly sought to educate students to a degree of self-culture, understanding, and devout piety that would naturally fit them to take her place in the field of labor. By her example, she demonstrated what essays and other footprints say: the proper use of personality is unselfish friendship toward all mankind. This true personality, prying open the door to spirituality and dominion, is not understood, however. It is the last link in the corporeal and the first link in the spiritual affections, which bind us to God and humanity. By demonstrating the true personality for us to emulate, our wayshowers, Mary Baker Eddy and Jesus, have blazed the trail by which we make our way out of the Adam dream. Even while Jesus' personality was on earth and in anguish, his individual being and your individual being, the Christ was, is at rest in the eternal harmony. His unseen individuality and your unseen individuality, so superior to that which was and is seen, it was not subject to the temptations of the flesh. Formed and governed by God, this individuality is safe in the substance of soul, true identity, spiritual understanding, the substance of spirit, yea, the substance of God, the one inclusive good. What Jesus said and did reveals his works to be the operation of divine law, not a personal dispensation. The Christ was Jesus' spiritual selfhood. It is also the spiritual selfhood of each one of us. Christ is the truth about your true selfhood. As you realize this, the Christ operates as divine activity, dispelling the illusion of the senses, causing harmony to appear in your human experience. Essays and Other Footprints continues by saying, St. John learned rejoicingly the mortality and final destruction of all error, learned that error disappeareth with matter, and there is no more sea. The loving evangelist saw the spirit of Christianity like an angel coming down from heaven, harmony. The dragon was chained and cast into the bottomless pit, animal magnetism, hypnotic suggestion. The belief that matter hath life and intelligence was fettered and forever destroyed. The spiritual sense and science of being point to heaven and lead the way, giving us triumph over matter, ability to bear, strength to withstand, power over pleasure and pain, courage to follow our convictions, humility to meet menace and scorn, calm reliance in hours of darkness, and absolute dependence on the infinite good we call God, remembering always that whatever is divine reality constitutes my being here and now. This removes all sense of limitation or restriction. Unquote. because of our ignorance of God, and of the fact that God, infinite good, is our own mind and gives us sovereign power, we've tolerated error far too long. Our silence has been deafening, but no more. Mrs. Eddy has awakened us to see that mortals must look beyond fading finite forms if they would gain the true sense of things. And as they gain more correct views of infinite good and man, multitudinous objects of creation, which before were invisible, will become visible. When we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter, this understanding will expand into self-completeness, finding all in God good and needing no other consciousness. Unquote. When we learn to behold everything from the standpoint of truth, we will, like Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, behold in science the perfect man. What gives us this capacity? The Christ, our Christ mind. It is never a human endeavor reaching out for something, but it is the realization that that which is true is the only thing going on, and all that is true is the truth about you and me. It is present actuality, not future attainment. It is divinely subjective, progressive, spiritual unfoldment from within you. But nothing exists for you and me unless we are aware of it. And this awareness is our own mind in manifestation. As awareness expands, so does our world expand. Right where we stand, God is. Our divine identity. As Christian Scientists, it is our Christ function to stand up to error and confront it with the truth. Error is a coward before truth, Mrs. Eddy says. God, our own real mind, being infinite, this mind is the only basis of science. Spirit, which Mrs. Eddy tells us we are, is infinite. Therefore, spirit is all. There is no matter is not only the axiom of true Christian Science, but it is the only basis upon which science can be demonstrated. Great successes are built upon taking our negatives and turning them around. Mrs. Eddy said, "We don't talk and uncover error enough. Error says, don't talk about me, talk about God. Keep up your mental argument on the side of truth. This truth-telling is a great neutralizer of error's lies, a great neutralizer of error's lies that man is born of a woman and is a few days and full of trouble. Holding the mortal as unreal and the divine as real, our all-harmonious Christhood is unconscious of matter, of sin, disease, death, and becomes conscious more and more only of God, mind, our true being here and now, until finally the only awareness is the conscious royalty and reality of our being. The Christ is not something to be followed. Rather, it is something to be embodied, to be seen as our own true divine identity here and now." Quote, "Every material belief hints the existence of spiritual reality, and if mortals are instructed in spiritual things, it will be seen that material belief, in all its manifestation, reversed, will be found the type and representative of verities priceless, eternal, and just at hand." Again, in Essays and Other Footsteps, she reminds us, "Remember, as truth progresses, error grows more subtle and aggressive. But it does not become something. It always remains an illusion, and is always met and destroyed with the understanding that divine love is the only power. All right ideas are included in my true being. So stand guard against the effort of evil to cause things to happen that will fill you with grief, wrath, or fear, and thus shut out your sense of the allness of God. Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many. Relax your thought. Your body is held tense, rigid by your tense thought of self. Let go, let God. In the first chapter of Genesis, God created by letting. Let there be light. Let there be a firmament, etc. So let go, and let God, your own real mind, realize all is already done. You are living in love. You govern your body through mind, and you know that man's true selfhood is not a slave, but master, since your true selfhood is divine life, truth, and love. Unless you go straight on as though nothing had happened, you are not watching with God. Your understanding of Christian Science is God working with you. Students must rise to see the nothingness of matter. Growth spiritual can be gained in no other way. Matter is a misconception of mind. As we see this, we wed ourselves to God, to mind as love. What Christianity gave us. Here again our way-showers guide us. On Essays and Other Footprints, Mrs. Eddy tells us, that which bloomed out of the life of Jesus, filling the world with the odor of divinity, was the ensample for man, and this coincidence of the human and the divine must yet appear in our lives. It may take a longer life than that of mortals to quicken it into vitality. Buried deep, it may be from human sight, and lie dormant for thousands of years. The conviction hourly deepens in my mind that the essential value of Christianity is not in doctrine, but in the great fact that it gives us a human person, a revelation, not of anything preternatural, but of our own nature, in its highest earthly development, as we wed ourselves to God, infinite good. Continuing Essays and Other Footprints. The body is but a picture of which mind is the artist, and paints his thoughts upon it without material brush or coloring. On page 137, Mrs. Eddy says that MAM, malicious animal magnetism, the name for all evil, is a bottomless pit. But Science and Health is the angel sent down from heaven, bringing us the key to animal magnetism, error. It unlocks the mystery of ages, and its declarations of truth are the chain which binds that old serpent, the devil, for 1,000 years. That is, it reduces sin, sickness, and death to a unit of nothingness. Love is the mighty conqueror that rends the veil of sense and compels the sea of mortal mind and death and hell to give up their dead, to become dust, so that the reflections of good are no longer hidden. Jesus, the great way-shower, was maligned and persecuted, but he has shown the way, and it is the victory over sin, disease, and death. It is the disappearing of the fleshly personality and the reappearing of spiritual existence. When his demonstration is understood in Christian Science, all mankind will follow Jesus' way, and, rising above sin, disease, and death, will put off the flesh and the error thereof, and put on the real man in the image of his Maker, even the spiritual man in Christ, thus gaining man's eternal identity and individuality that is forever whole, wedded to infinite good. Healing through understanding. In Mrs. Eddy's Science of Man, we are told that matter held as shadow is the idea of God, infinite good, but matter held as substance is belief and error. In answering the question, do we see man, or what is it we see? Mrs. Eddy explains, it is not the man God, infinite good, created that we see, for this man is the idea of substance and life. But the one we see, with mortal mind, is as before named, a belief of substance and death. A belief of substance and death in matter, instead of the idea of truth that holds matter a shadow, at the control of soul, spiritual understanding, true changeless identity. We see mortality, that is, falsely named man, with mortal sense. But we see the immortal man through science, and with immortal sense that contradicts sense and matter. You must learn what I have stated of the soul and let it contradict sense, as science must. When there is pain or suffering, you find it in material sense. Therefore, you are to contradict this with science, that says there is no reality in aught but God's giving. And this principle cannot give in harmony, nor can this good give evil. Hence you must argue down this false seeming, this belief begotten of man and born of woman, instead of born of God. And my proofs to you that these statements are science and truth, you will find in this, that when you destroy the belief of any disease, the patient will recover. Now you have not destroyed a person, place, or thing. You've only, through a metaphysical process, destroyed a belief. And that, the disease, is gone, when this is accomplished, proves to you that sensation in matter is only an illusion and belief that science contradicts. To advance most rapidly, you will cut off every offending thought or motive that is not truth. And if you hold any habit that places pleasure in sense, you will be rid of this as fast as possible. All life is outside of matter. In Essays and Other Footprints, Mrs. Eddy presents some further illuminating questions and answers. Question: how can man understand himself a principle after so long believing himself a person? Answer: by learning this truth of science, for science alone can teach a principle. Learning we are principle, the mind that is love, we realize we embrace masculine, feminine, and neuter, represented by the universe and man. Question: in teaching this science, which is the leading error to be attacked? Answer: the first error of material birth, namely, the belief that man made you and life was ever born into matter and the body. This belief you are to assail with the opposite truth, that all life is principle, outside of matter. Man is not both mental and physical. He is mind alone, having no separate mind from God, and having not a single quality underived from deity. Declare that there is but one mind, and that mind is your mind. Question: when teaching this truth, is the learner first to understand that he is a principle and not a person, and secondly, that life, the principle outside of his body, is himself? Answer: certainly. And this will commence to take him into intelligence and away from the error of his belief that life is in matter, and is that error which holds him from the understanding of this principle of science, from understanding God in truth, which has hitherto explained him a belief, a person, an error. The devil, which Jesus cast out, was belief, illusion, hypnotic suggestion. When Mrs. Eddy uses the phrase sons and daughters of God, it is always in a context that does not refer to mortal human beings. Mrs. Eddy says that mortals are not the children of God. By children, she means the ideas of God, just as she defines man as idea, including all right ideas. There are no men and women ideas. Hold yourself in this science, and let it destroy this error called sickness. Bring it forward as you would the science of music to destroy discord. The truth of man is that he is in perfect health and cannot be sick, neither can he die, because his principle, which he is, which is the soul, spiritual understanding, is immortal and gives forth an immortal idea, which is man. Mrs. Eddy has told us that, quote, unless Christian scientists learn to handle animal magnetism, Christian science will do very little good in the world, unquote. To have perfect harmony, we don't have to focus on the illness. We need only remove the ignorance of our God being. Instead of keeping our ear to the ground, listening for the rumblings of error, we should keep it high attuned to omnipotence. Indeed, when one's ear is to the ground, one's rear becomes a target, and animal magnetism will kick it every time. Quote, make your patient understand, or it is little use to talk to him. Unquote. Understanding the truth lifts us above the fatal belief that our body is matter, and that matter is substance instead of shadow. Quote, God and man are perfectly distinct in quantity and quality, and are only united as a principle is, joined to its idea, and as substance and shadow are united. Man is but a reflex shadow of the soul God which you are, and man borrows therefrom all substance, life, and intelligence, and therefore all sensation, and in this scientific arrangement, he is harmonious and eternal. Quote, soul, spiritual understanding, throws off body, man, just as substance throws off its shadow. This is the science of man, and on this principle, soul, spiritual understanding, can control man, and if controlled thus, he is immortal. Soul, your Christ mind, gives forth its idea as a shadow, and holds substance truth in itself. Unquote. Mrs. Eddy solemnly explains that, quote, when you understand that which is named matter, and manifest the phenomena of the principle which you are, you can control matter. Elsewhere, she says, all that which is called matter in the physical world, when correctly seen, is the idea, reflection of truth, the idea of principle. Therefore, in this truth of science, it is good and named thus in creation. But when the knowledge which came of error and said good and evil are in matter, it lied. But man believed the lie and commenced asking good of knowledge, asking it of hygiene, of physiology, materia medica. On page 209 of Essays and Other Footprints, Mary Baker Eddy tells us, when we ask the body for pleasure, it is an error. We should seek happiness only of God. Calling upon matter for intelligence, for good or evil, is a waste of time, as it has none of the pleasure we seek or the pain we fear. Here note carefully what Mrs. Eddy says next. All that worketh a lie was made after the creation of God, and fashioned after this sort, a belief of pleasure in matter. This led to sexual intercourse, and this belief of man and woman mingling brought forth another belief, and this was that man was a creator, and this error brought sin, sickness, and death. Had it been truth, it would have brought forth harmony and immortality. When we understand the truth, this is soul that never changes, and is the good part that cannot be taken away from us. It is almost impossible to overestimate the unimportance of most things, but the importance of understanding the truth which was given us in the second coming of the Christ cannot be overestimated. Chapter 9. Discerning and Grasping God's Creation. Awake from this Adam dream. Let's now continue our examination of her private teachings regarding human marriage and our marriage to God by studying quotes from Divinity Course and General Collectania. Quote, a lady came to Mrs. Eddy in a pregnant condition and told her she was going to have a spiritual child. Mrs. Eddy said, then it will not need to be born of the flesh, will it? To be born into the belief of matter is the last enemy to be overcome, death, physical life that ends in death. Mankind has reached the last enemy and knows it not, but the divine overpowers the human and finally vanquishes it. The birth out of matter into spirit, into our marriage with God, is not gained by argument nor by force. It is growth hourly. It is forever getting nearer love that is love, universal divine presence, alias might and dominion, first over the body, then its reflection is dominion over all the earth. Quote, the womanhood of man and the manhood of woman are one and inseparable. Divine love, truth, and life are the father and mother of all created reality. Our teacher has bearded the lion in his den and destroyed the false conception of man, even all material claims to manhood or womanhood. Therefore, there never was an Adam or an Eve, nor a serpent to beguile them or demoralize them. Because every mortal has been brought up to believe not only that he owes his birth to another mortal, but that he holds within himself the capacity to give birth to another mortal. This concept of birth is the Adam dream from which the world is slowly awakening. True birth is understanding. To destroy the belief of death, we must first destroy the belief of birth. For the first enemy is sin, and the last enemy is death. As St. James states in his epistle, James 1, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death." This is the Bible's entire message, but who believes it? No longer to marry or to be given in marriage neither closes man's continuity nor his sense of increasing number in God's infinite plan. Spiritually, to understand that there is but one Creator, God, infinite good, unfolds all creation, confirms the Scriptures, brings the sweet assurance of no parting, no pain, and of man deathless and perfect and eternal. Mortals can never understand God's creation while believing that man is a creator. The resurrection is seeing the real man that was never in matter and never needed healing. This is what we must learn to see. Jesus was the way-shower, the Christ with him. He showed the way as the masculine idea of principle. Then woman took it up at this point, and ascending thought in the scale, and is showing the way through the Christ science, thus representing the male and female principle, the male and female of God's creating. Unquote. We can only love this male and female principle as far as we love his infinite good's idea. And his idea is science, constituted of the 7 synonyms for God, which are expressed through the 4 mediums of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. On the 4 levels of spiritual thought, namely science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. What is the second death? The question was asked of Mrs. Eddy, "What is the second death?" Answer, "The death of every sin you possess." "What is the first death?" Answer, "Coming into the belief of life, substance, intelligence, etc., in matter." The first death is dying to spirit, as in human birth when the veil of matter descends on us through sin. But God demands a more Christian, zealous, and persistent effort to resist evil and overcome it, or our cause will again be covered by the rubbish of centuries. Mrs. Eddy asks us to take up those transgressors in our midst who would undo the work of their leader. The Divinity Course tells us, "When we work together as one, it will be seen as the Son of God." Make God infinite good all, for God is all and there is nothing else. It is just as though mind were saying, "I am here, and there is nothing else here. I am the practitioner, and I am the patient, and there is nothing else and neither can be other than I am." Man is not, cannot be, a creator. January 13, 1892, Mrs. Eddy wrote to Mr. William G. Nixon, "I congratulate you on the success at your home, but I also pray that you not be left to temptation, and understand that God, mind, has created all, and man, reflection, is not, cannot be a creator, however much the senses declare against this great truth. To the senses, you have gotten a child, but not in science. Have you a mind in matter any more than you have sickness, disease, and death? Hence what you believe is a mortal child is mortal and subject to the above. And if you believe you have an immortal child formed of matter, you believe a lie, for this is impossible."